1 John chapter 5. We're getting into the last chapter of 1 John. And as we continue on in this message of what is a Christian? What does a Christian look like? If Christ has totally have a way in my life, if He truly belongs to me and I belong to Him, how's that outpouring? What's that look like? And John talks a lot about love. That in here, you know, we talk about a God who judges, and often so many people are such afraid of a judgmental God. And don't get me wrong, God is the judge, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will be a day when the world will have to stand before that great white throne and give an account. But one of the most compelling things in this is that God loves us. And it just is a miraculous, powerful message. And I don't think we understand the scope of His love for us. You know, we talk about earthly love, and sometimes there's so many strings attached. And you know, I'll love you if you love me. I'll love you if you do this for me. This past week we started club. So keep us in your prayers as we're starting off going down to Searsport School and ministering to these kids. And this year something interesting has happened, so keep us in your prayers. Because typically middle school starts up at 6th grade up. And we've been praying, you know, Lord, we got to, you know, it'd be great to be able to get into the middle school. Those kids need the gospel. They need the message of the Word of God as well. But we need a whole other team and a whole bunch of other things would have to work out for that to happen. So lo and behold, the first day of club, we had, what, three or four sixth graders come back and say, five, all right, I got five. Do I hear six? No. We had five kids come back down to the elementary school and say, hey, we want to come back to club. And so, like, okay, so we're kind of shuffling things really quick. And the way it's going to look out is that we're going to have probably two clubs running at the same time. So keep us in your prayers. We're going to run a little kids club, and then we'll be running a fifth and sixth grade on. So we're like, okay, Lord, you're bringing them up. You know, we're praying, how are we going to reach them? Well, Lord's bringing them to us. So it's going to be different. And it's going to be sort of a challenge as you work these things out. And but I'm excited. I'm excited. And as we share with these kids the love of Christ. And I talk about the club and we talk about the Bible being the best story ever. It's a love story. And I asked the kids, I said, you know, how is God's love different from the other love? And I said, have you ever had a friend say, you know, if you don't do this, I won't like you or I won't play with you? And one little girl's like, yeah, I had a friend that said she wouldn't be my friend if I didn't do it. Right? That's earthly love. A love that manipulates and seeks out its own advantage. That's conditional. I think one of the tragedies we've seen in our society and these kids, it's so hard that oftentimes you have a mom or a dad with the kids and then they have boyfriends or girlfriends who come and stay for a while, then leave and come and stay for a while. And love becomes sort of this conditional thing. Who do I love right now? Instead of a commitment, instead of a faithfulness. God's love doesn't change. No matter what you do, God will still love you. No matter what you have done, God still loves you. That's an amazing thing. And it's something I think, even in our lifetime, you know, we read about these type of love in the Scriptures, and we experience this love, but sometimes it almost seems too good to be true. And I've talked with people who say, well, you know what, I don't feel like I deserve God's love. And I'm thankful it's not a love you have to earn. He loves you because He chooses to love you. And so in there, John keeps coming back to that as being the motivator. of all that we do. You know, hopefully you're here this morning because you love the Lord. Right? Hopefully as we go out, I am faithful to Him because I love Him. You know, I read His Word. I sing His songs. And I do all these things because He is the love of my life. John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. We're just going to go through the first five verses in this. And in here talks about the effects of love in our lives. The effects of love in our life. Starting at verse 1, I'm going to go ahead and read down through this. And we're going to break this up a little bit this morning. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So in here, I found out in here there's really three areas in which the effect of love becomes evidence in our lives. Right? The first one I want to take a look at here is really in the first two verses. The first two verses. 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who has begotten Him. It says, by this we know that the love of by this we know that we love the children of God when we keep love God and keep His commandments. John goes on to say, look, you say you love God, and because I love God who begat us, who made us, who created us, he says, look, by that same fact, we should love the very thing that He created. Right? An example. You know, on our fridge, we have papers that our daughter has come up with. Artwork. Sometimes it's homework. Right? And we take those things and we display them on our fridge. Right? Come Christmas time, we open up a box, and within those boxes are macaroni and popsicle stick and paint and glue creations that are put into the box. Years ago, and I'm sure now many years have gone by, I'm sure they were gone, but I remember several years ago, I was at my mom's house, and over all these years, she had kept some of those mementos of stuff that we, you know, she's like, oh, this is so cute, you made this when you were like 5 years old. It's like, Mom, put it away. You know, what is it? You know, what is this thing? I don't know. You know, I'm old enough, I remember when we were in school, one of the first clay projects we made ashtrays. Things have changed over the years, haven't they? Yeah, but we made ashtrays and brought home ashtrays. You know, and they were just, I don't know, they were ugly. Right? But you bring them home and Mom and Dad thought they were the most precious thing in the world. Why? Right? Because they love the person that made it. Right? And how that love affects those things. That in here, because of those things, the impact it has changes our perspective. And if I love God, who is the begetter, who is the maker, who is creator, then I need to love the very things that He made. Now, we look at some of these things in this world around us, and, you know, we look at the creation that we have. And now, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not an anti-hunter. I haven't had venison in many years, not because of a personal conviction, just because I'm a horrible hunter. You know? The other day we were walking down the street and there was a squirrel in the road, and I told my daughter, she freaked out, she screamed, and I said, we should bring that home and cook it. She's like, that doesn't seem like a good idea. Right? But as Christians, we look at the world around us, and I believe that we should be, look, God, you created this, and we should be good stewards of what you've made us and what you've given us in this world around us. That we should be kind toward the animals and not abuse and take advantage of. Or as Christians, I think we should be some of the best conservationists, just taking care of, but manage it, not to worship it. But because, God, you created this, we should respect it because it's from you. But how much more so as we look around us, especially within the body of Christ, that look, these are people who love the same God that I love, who care for the same God that I care for. And because God loves you, I should love you as well. And that's the language he's using here. He says, look, how can we say that we love the one who begat the Creator and not love his creation, that which was begotten? So in here, if truly I love God, I'm going to love what he loves. And guess what? He loves you. He loves those unlovely people in your life. That's okay, because you know what? I'm probably someone's unlovely person, right? But because I love God, I should love you. Because you love God, you need to love me. And Lord, help me to see each other as you see them. Right? So that's the first one. The first instigation we should have is our love towards one another. The next one we talk about, look, because I love God, not only do I love you, but I should love his word. I should love his word. Then in here, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. First, John tells us in the Gospel of John that in being was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That in here, this is a revelation of who God is. And we should love Him and have a love for His Word. And oftentimes I'm troubled because I've come across Christians who says, I love God, but you know, I don't spend any time in the Bible. Actually, there's some things in the Bible I don't like, I don't care for. I'll ignore certain parts of it instead of saying, Lord, this is from you. And I want to give you a couple of things. I'm going to go ahead and read here in verse 3. It says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not, what's that last word? Burdensome. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, in our house, every house has sort of house rules. Now, oftentimes they're unspoken, or sometimes they're unwritten rules, but they're rules that you learn along the way to make things run smoothly in your household. Right? And there are things that I need to learn not to do because it irritates my wife. Right? I'd love to stand here and say, hey, you know, I got it down, Pap. I'm still working on it. Right? But there are certain things that I know that if I do, I'm going to get in trouble. Right? There's some things in here that I know that just not going to displease her. And it works the other way as well. Right? How much more so when we say we love God, we should want to do things that please Him? And how do we know that? by the Word of God. Lord, reveal yourself to me in the Word. What do I know what God likes? He tells us in His words. What does God want me to do? He tells us in His Word. So in this, it talks about these commandments. I like that at the end it says, and they're not burdensome. They're not burdensome. Well, wait a minute. Some things are in here are hard. Some things in here step on my toes. Some of these things in here go against maybe my natural inclination. That means my natural inclination is wrong. And God says, okay, this is how you should behave. I was talking to I ran into a gentleman this past week, and we're talking about his church, and he goes, yeah, and I knew the pastor that was there prior. I said, I heard he moved on. They said, yeah, the deacons asked him to go. I said, well, why? He goes, well, he kind of preached too much into the Bible. He was kind of a little too much about hell sometimes and all that. And he goes, and we just wanted a lot more levity. So we wanted someone who just would bring a lot more levity from the pulpit. So I said, you just wanted someone to tell you what you wanted to hear. He goes, well, it sounds different when you say it that way, but yeah. Well, sometimes the Word of God does rebuke me. Sometimes it does reprove me. And other times it lifts me up and it encourages me and gives me light. In here, but as I love God, then I should love what He has asked me to do. And it shouldn't be such burdensome. And if we get to a point where we feel like, I'm struggling because I know this is what the Bible says, but I want to do something else, then we need to check our heart to bring ourselves in line with what God has said. But anyway, just on this point, I have three things I want to encourage you with about the Word of God and why you should love the Word of God. All right? The first one is it gives us power. No, forget that it gives us sight. I don't know what it's from. But it gives us power. It says, look, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God to salvation. And everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And folks, the Word of God gives us power. It energizes us to follow Him and do what He wants us to do. And in here, that gives strength. Gives us strength. In our lives, oftentimes we struggle. I don't know about you, but sometimes you just run out of gas. Sometimes you just get worn down. The Word of God gives us power, gives us strength. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but for those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, the Word of God can refresh us, can energize us. Gives us strength. Gives us hope. And I'll tell you, as we look at the world today, the world needs a lot of hope. And I'm glad for the Word of God. Because you know what? I can sneak at the end of the book. Now, normally, I'm a guy who likes to read a book from the start to the end. Don't tell me how it ends. Right? If you tell me how a book ends, I'm done because... Now, how many of you guys are the ones that will... How many of you guys peek ahead when you're reading a book? Confession time. Oh, yeah, a few of you will. You know, oh, this is kind of a depressing part. I'm going to skip ahead. I was like, oh, how can you do that, right? Find out the ending. No. But guess what? In the Bible, it's okay. I can look at the world and say, where is it going? And I can look at the end. Can I tell you something? No. Plug your ears if you don't want to know how it ends, but... God wins. God wins. That we look and we're with Him. Right? We're on the winning team. But you look at the news, you wouldn't guess that. Right? In here, I know the Bible tells us He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Praise God! That His grace is sufficient for all my needs. He tells me that. He knows the way of the path that I'm on. Right? He knows where I'm going. And in these things, it renews our strength. It gives us power for our daily lives. I'll tell you, I'm turning off the news more and more and need to turn to the real source of what really is going on. And the Word of God energizes. I love the Word of God because of that. Second thing, the Word of God is food for the soul. It's food for the soul. Book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word, so by it you may grow in respect to salvation. The Word of God is food for the soul. And as a baby who hungers for the milk, do I hunger for the Word of God? Do I hunger for it? It satisfies like nothing else will do. You know, you turn around and you look at a newborn infant and all they do is eat. That's all they do. Well, and then they get rid of what they ate. But between those two things, they don't do much else. Right? You know, it starts off every 2 hours and they need it now. They let you know when you don't get it. Why? Because they're growing. They're growing. You know, my daughter all of a sudden will get to a point where, you know, she just wants to eat, 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 eat. Why? She's going through a growing spurt. Well, the same principles apply to the Scriptures in our lives. If we want to grow spiritually, we need to consume the Word. And it breaks my heart in this world today because I look around at so many people who just don't have time for it, who doesn't have time for God, who don't have time for church, don't have time for all these things because they're so consumed with other things. And folks, there's so many people who are consuming themselves with things that do not satisfy at the end. What they're doing is feeding themselves on spiritual junk food. Right? I had to learn really quick when my child was young. Cindy would be off, and I was watching my daughter. And, you know, I'm hungry. So in the middle of the afternoon, Mom, I'm hungry. Okay, have some crackers. So we're eating crackers. We're eating some chips. Right? We're eating stuff all afternoon. Right? We've eaten all this junk. And then all of a sudden, my wife comes home, makes supper, sits down, and guess what she says? I'm not hungry. Why? Because I've been suffering all afternoon, right? And not with good stuff. You know, my mom was pretty smart. You know, she says, eat all your supper, then you get dessert. It's not like governors, eat dessert first. That's okay once in a while. But right, eat your meal. No, you can't have a brownie until you eat your peas. Well, the brownie tastes better sometimes, doesn't it? But it's not going to satisfy in the long run. Actually, you turn around and just eat all the junk, what happens is you get hungrier later on. Folks, same thing happens spiritually. I love the Word of God because it's food for the soul. It's satisfying. It helps me grow. And the last thing, I should love the Word of God because it's a love letter. Because it's a love letter. Folks, the Word of God was penned for you and for me. God has revealed Himself in the pages of this book. When Jesus died and rose again on the road to Emmaus, He met two disciples who were all in distraught and all in distress, saying, "Look, Jesus has died. The Savior is gone." Jesus turns around and says, "Don't you realize?" And He says here in verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning," what? Himself. That in here, He went through the all Old Testament and said, "You know what? This is talking about Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. And this is talking about Jesus." You know, when Joseph went off, he was a type of Jesus. When Moses did this, you know what? That's a type of Jesus. That all this Scripture is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And look, if I love Him, I want to know more about Him, I should grab His letters to me. Years ago, I did a funeral for a gentleman. And usually before a funeral, I like to sit down with the family and say, "Hey, tell me some stories. Let me get to know them." And this widow came downstairs and she had a box. And during World War II, her husband was, I think it was over in the Pacific Rim. And he sent home letters. Does anyone remember letters? Right? When people used to write letters? And it would take a long time to get there. And she had a box full of every letter that he sent. Kept them all. And she said sometimes she would sit down and go through the letters. She pointed out that some of the letters actually had dirt and stains from where he was at. Some of them had water spots because it was raining as he was writing it. Each letter reflected who he was. And she cherished those letters because they came from someone that loved her. Folks, God has given you His love letters for you to read through and discover the pages of Him. See, I should love the Word of God because it gives me power. I should love the Word of God because it gives me strength. I should love the Word of God because they're His love letters to us. Talk about the evidence is the outpouring of our love as we love others. We love His Word. The last one is in the last two verses here, verses 4 and 5. That in there become overcomers. Remember I mentioned that in here, that Jesus wins. God wins. And because we're with Him, we're on the winning side. And everyone loves a winner. I was listening to some folks talk about their sports teams and all disappointed they are because their team didn't make it all the way this year. All distraught. Right? Because everyone loves to be on the winning team. Well, guess what? If you belong to Jesus, you are on the winning team. And in here, we can overcome. I know you look about sometimes, it feels like we're on the losing side, but we're not. We're not. And in here, he talks about this in verses 4 and 5. He says that whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He says, "Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Folks, that because I love Him, I can have victory in my life. that in here, what happens is I can look at the news and say, you know what, this is where the world's going, but that's not me. I belong to Jesus. I can look at the world and say, you know what, that's what they do, but I belong to the King. I belong to the heavenly kingdom in the midst of all these things. I can be more than conquerors. That look, the world doesn't have to change me. The world doesn't have to make me conform to its image. But because of the Word of God, I can stand strong. Even if I have to stand alone, I know that I am on Jesus' side and we've won the victory. I don't have to be that way. And it's our faith that makes all the difference. Lord, help me cling to You. Unwavering. Even if I stand alone, Lord, help me cling to You. It's our faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And over the years, I've had people say, well, Pastor, you know, I just don't have the faith. You know what the solution is? Get into the Word of God. Read what it says. Believe what it says. Then stand on what it says. Unwavering. I am not who I think I am. I am what the Bible says I am. And if I am a child of God, I am loved. I am cherished. I am cleansed. I am what the Word of God says I am. I claim it by faith. That in here, I'm going to teach my children what is right and what is wrong, not by the world's standard, but by the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is not old, he will not depart from it. I cling to that promise. So I'm going to take this Word, I'm going to lay it into the heart of my children and say, Lord, I'm putting it there. It's up to You to bring it back out. Now, Lord, in my marriage and in the struggles and all these things I'm having, Lord, I'm going to cling to the Word of God and do what it tells me to do. Lord, help me to overcome in all these areas. Because what does the Bible say to us? It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Notice that. The list of all these things that are going on are still struggling. We are still bombarded. We still feel those pressures. We still all this. But in these situations we can be more than conquerors. Why? Because I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the effects of love is, Lord, I know You say You who I am. Lord, You will do what You tell me You will do. Lord, by faith I cling, and nothing will separate me from Your love. And because of that, He should have first place in my life. Folks, no one else loves you like God does. So because of that, He should have first place in our life, always. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the love that You've given us, Lord. And in this, help us to have that impact, the effect of love, Lord, to show others that we love them. Lord, in this, that we love the Word of God. And Lord, because we love You, Lord, we can be overcomers. Strengthen us by Your Spirit, Lord. Strengthen us by Your Word. And Lord, help us not to cling to anyone else but You. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.